willing, we'll get verse 43 through 51 under our belt. I really want to, again, start with a recap of where we were last week. We looked at verse 32 through 42. I want to start kind of recapping from 36, and then I'll tie in 32 through 35, and it'll set the table for where we're going this morning, because this all flows together. Sometimes it's difficult. Where do we start? You know, where do we stop? Where do we start? And so forth. And I think it's just so important that we see the fluidity of this and how it all goes together as part of learning how to study God's word in context and again, to teach God's word in context, to rightly divide the word. Amen. That's what we want to be doing. And so there in verse 36 last week, we saw the Lord really begin to focus in on the rapture of the church. And throughout this, and we're really going to establish this even more this morning, when it comes to the second coming of Christ, the physical second coming of Christ, where the skies split, he's coming on that white horse. We see the church coming back with the Lord. We read of this in clarity in Revelation 19. We'll read it this morning. We can know that day and that hour. From the signing of that covenant there that Jesus points us back to, in Matthew 24, 15, he points us back to Daniel 9, and he speaks of this last 7 years where God's dealing with Israel. We know it as the Great Tribulation. It's a time soon to come. There's going to be a covenant confirmed between the Antichrist and Israel. And from that 7 year, or from the signing of that covenant to 7 years, we know that that is the time of the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to establish that even more this morning. But when it comes to him coming for his church, when he catches us up, when he comes in the sky versus when he comes and touches foot on earth at the literal second coming, no one knows that day or that hour. It's just not known. And the Lord wants to grill that into our hearts. He wants us to understand that. He wants us to know that there's nothing that has to happen for him to come back for his church, though much has happened. And there are signs that the Lord said would unfold before that time, but he can come at any time. We saw in verse 37 through 39, him comparing it to the days of Noah. And we saw there's kind of two points in that. The first being that the day when Christ comes would be like the days of Noah. And our days today are very much like the days of Noah. We know that culturally, it is a day when so many, they have their thoughts never on God. Their thoughts are continually set on evil. And I think that's more than we really realize and recognize, because we're so bombarded by so many voices from so many vices. And look, at a mindset on evil isn't just necessarily someone plotting and planning some satanic activity or putting a hex or spell on somebody. A thought set on evil is a thought void of God, a thought that never filters anything through the word, thoughts that are just hedonistic and fleshly, and they're just about appeasing the five senses, and they're selfish and so forth. It's thoughts that, again, are never on Jesus Christ. That's much of our world. It's easy for us to fall on that as believers, and this is why we're charged to take all our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you know what's glorious as well? Your heart will have peace if your mind is set on the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in Isaiah 26:3, I believe it is, paraphrasing that. So we see that being the case. As well, in the days of Noah, we know there was great wickedness. There was great violence. The Lord grieved that he had even made man. And we also barely touched on it last week. We've looked at it in great detail many times in the past. We know there was an effort by the enemy to try to come against the promise of God, as God had promised through the seed of the woman a Savior would come. And we see there in the time before the flood that angels were fallen from heaven. Angels were falling and taking on women. And it was a distortion of that genealogy, given an effort to distort that genealogy that Savior would come from. And it makes all the sense in the world why God brought a flood and did a reboot versus him just bringing a revival. And in the day we're in now, look at most people don't really recognize or know this, but you get in the scripture and you'll see it. Part of the great effort to try to destroy Israel, this anti-Semitism that abounds in the world, is once again an effort to try to come against the promises of God. Because it says of Messiah that he would sit on the throne of David and literally rule and reign on this earth. Jesus did not do that in his first coming, but he will do that in his second coming. The millennial reign of Christ is about Jesus sitting on his throne, first and foremost, reigning over saved Israel that will come into, again, salvation through faith in Christ at the end of the tribulation, and Satan is trying to come against that. And that's one of the reasons there is a great anti-Semitism spirit, anti-Semitic spirit that's abounding in this world. It is fueled by the enemy of God Almighty, Satan himself. And so we see, like the days of Noah, it's like our days. And then even more so, like the days of Noah, listen, Noah prophesied and preached for 120 years, a great flood is coming. They didn't listen to him. They didn't heed him. I imagine maybe at first, like, oh, what's going on? And then as the years went by, more and more they deafened their ears and hardened their hearts. Oh, this old fool's been saying this for 90 years. It's never even rained on earth. And he says a great flood's going to come. But we know 120 years later, after he began to build that ark, after he began to preach of those things and prophesy, we know that that flood indeed came. And Jesus spoke of that there. We saw that in the text last week in verse 37 through 39, that this is how his coming for his church will be. We know that, again, Noah was called in that ark, the Lord closed that door, and then the wrath of God was poured out, not until he came into that ark. And the Lord says, my coming will be like that. Again, we'll look at more verses that speak of this morning. We've looked at so many as well, that they'll say peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. He says, but you're of the light. This day won't get you as a thief. And we are not appointed to wrath. We also compared scripture with scripture. And we saw there in Luke that the Lord also likened it to the days of Lot. And again, in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, everything was normal. It says in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were buying and selling. In the days of Lot, it says they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day that Lot was taken out of that city, we know that destruction came on that city, and it wasn't until Lot was out of that city. And again, just like the days of Noah, you look at today, our days are very much like the days of Lot. It's really seen in the sin of homosexuality. Listen, go study history. And when a nation, when a culture begins to embrace that sin, celebrate that sin, normalize that sin, you know what's on the heels of that? The judgment of God. And that might upset you this morning, but I'm here to teach truth and deal with facts. It does not mean that Christ does not die on the cross to save all sinners and all sin. Absolutely, he did, and absolutely he saves for any who will call upon his name. And it's even all the more glory to God when we are deeper and deeper in depravity, when we call upon Christ and he washes us and he forgives us. We become a new creation in Christ. He begins to change our attractions, and he begins to change our affections to that which he has called us to. That's the God that we serve. But if a nation, if a world wants to reject him and say, we don't want you, Lord, eventually God will give them over to that, and a wrath will come. And listen, that's the world that we are very much living in today. God, we know, called Noah into that ark, and he willingly went in. Lot had to be pulled out of Sodom. And we talked about this. When the Lord comes, we want to make sure that it's God, again, peeling the hands of the world off our ankles versus peeling our hands off of the world. I think that's what you get between Lot and Noah. Two differences there. But one thing we do know, God was faithful to his servants who believed in him, even in the great rebellion, and God took them out on a day, again, that they weren't expecting. There wasn't a timeline given for those days. God took them out, and then the wrath came. And then we saw in verse 40 through 41, God liking that to, again, his coming in the sky for his church, which there's no timeline for. Again, there is a timeline for the second coming of Christ. They will know that day. We'll see this morning Satan will know that day. We know the beast will know that day. We know that he'll gather the nations of the world together in Armageddon around Jerusalem, leading up to that day, them waiting with weaponry pointed towards the sky to try to fight against God Almighty. We'll see Satan knowing that his time is short when he gets kicked out of heaven midway through the tribulation. But when it comes to the rapture of the church, we do not know that day. Notice what it says there in verse 40 through 42 in Matthew 24. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Again, the word there, taken, it could be translated received, and there's only one other place where that word is used in the New Testament. It's Jesus in John 14 when he's speaking of going away, building mansions for us, that he can receive us to himself where we will be with him forever. He says, in fact, in John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Is that not good news this morning? That where I am, there you may be also. I'll receive you to myself. This phrase here, one will be taken away, it's that same word, received. One will be received unto me, the other will be left behind for that great tribulation. And notice, again, it's in the midst of daily activity. It's in the midst of a believer and a non-believer working together in the field. It's the midst of a believing woman and a non-believing woman working together at the mill. Unexpectedly. Listen, normalcy. Life is going as a normal. Again, please go read the book of Revelation and test this. Life will not be normal during the great tribulation. Listen, leading up to the second coming Lord, that second half of the tribulation, the mountains are wiped out. The waters of the earth are turning blood. We know that the wildlife's dying and so forth. Again, the Lord saying, you want global warming? I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be off the charts. It said men will be more rare than gold. Men will seek after death and not be able to find it in some cases. They'll go under the rocks and they'll cry out because they'll say the day of God's wrath has come and they want to die and they can't, those that don't die through these natural disasters. There will be no normalcy, plus they will know the timeline. Satan himself knows the timeline from that point forward. We'll see it this morning. But when it comes to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lord says, you do not know that hour. Watch, therefore. Are you watchful for the coming of the Lord? And let me tell you, when you are, it will affect the way that you're living. Some people, when they talk about this, oh, these Christians, they just want to get out of here. They're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. No, you want to be of earthly good, you need to be heavenly minded. You need to know Christ is my master. I will give an account for him for how I live my life, the time he's given to me, the gifts he's given to me, the talents he's given to me, the minds he's given to me. I will stand before the living God and he can come at any time. Oh, Lord, let me live for you. Get this in my heart. Satan works hard to get this out of our heart. He works hard to dull our heart, to dull our ears, to get us to be apathetic, lukewarm, and so forth. Now listen, in Matthew 24:32, we read this. He said, now, and this is before what we just looked at, now learn this parable from the fig tree. We saw last week, again, the fig tree is a picture of Israel. When its branch has already become tender and it put forth leaves, no summer is near. Listen, the Lord can come at any time. He said, always be watching and looking, but he still's given us signs and indicators when that time is getting closer and closer. One of those is Israel putting forth its bud, its branch, and we've talked about that much over the last several studies, how God has regathered Israel against all odds, birthed again as a nation, all of the fruitfulness coming out of Israel. Again, up till the midpoint of that tribulation, their fire, their enemies are as wood, and then they're going to go through Jacob's trouble where they are humbled and come to faith in Jesus Christ. But the fig tree is budding now. And so more than ever, we should be watchful for the coming of the Lord. And then those, it says in verse 33, that go through the tribulation, that generation won't pass away. Because he says, so you also, when you see all these things, know that it's near at the doors. As surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That's the generation that will see the abomination of desolation. Again, we see Israel. We're seeing the things leading up to the tribulation. We're going to see up to the right before the last 7 years. Those on earth, though, again, it's all the more the Lord saying, you're going to see the abomination of desolation. He's just taught on this right before this. When you see all that, you need to know there is a timeline now. You begin to look up. You need to know that I am coming soon. And we want to be such a people. We want to understand the times like the men of Issachar did in 1 Chronicles 12:32. And we don't want to be like the Pharisees who the Lord rebuked. He says, you can look up and you see the sky's red and you know it's going to rain, but you can't discern the time. And listen, that was the Messiah on earth right before them, God in flesh, and they couldn't discern it. Can you imagine that? And like, these were the people of the Bible. Listen, the Pharisees started off awesomely. They started off as Bill Randall's put it, the back to the Bible movement. Back there in the Maccabeans in those times, they said, we got to get back into the Word. But they began to harden their heart. They began to bring in legalisms and so forth. And then Christ was right there before them and they couldn't discern it. Jesus is coming soon. He wants us to discern it. He wants us to be watchful. Can we say amen to that this morning? Again, we're going to see the Lord reiterating these things in our text this morning. We're going to see him again, once again telling us he's coming unexpectedly. He's coming like a thief in the night. And if the master of the house knew when that thief was coming, he would be prepared. Again, someone could say, hey, you could have your house broken into. You need to be prepared. But the thief may never come. And look, at practically, that's a good thing. But the Lord is telling, I'm coming like a thief. But here's the thing, I am going to come. And again, it could happen in our lifetime. And if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, it's still good to know he can come because it will affect the way we live in our lifetime. Again, he said, if you knew, you would be looking, you would be prepared. And then he gives us this charge to be about his business. And if we're about his business, he'll give us charge over so much more, which I really believe is rewards and crowns to put at his feet. But the evil servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming. And he begins to, and we'll read it here in a second, behave like the world. And it says he has his portion with the hypocrite. And so what's the hypocrite? It's a two-faced Christian. It's one that gives lip service to God, but it's not about the business of God. I don't believe it's the Christian losing their salvation. Listen, we can't lose our salvation if we're truly saved. Everlasting life means everlasting life. But losing a reward, that may seem like nothing to you today. I hear people, I'll just be glad to get there. And you will be glad to get there. We will. And it's only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's nothing of ourself. But don't take light that Bema Seat judgment. Don't take light standing before God and not having a crown to put before him. It says there'll be a weeping that comes with that. Now again, he's going to wipe away every tear. But spending eternity with no crown to put before the Lord is something that I don't want. I want to heed the words of Jesus Christ, and the Lord wants us to heed his words here this morning. Let's read verse 43 through 51. But know this, and listen, if Jesus says to know this, we probably should know this, right? But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he'll make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour he is not aware of. And listen to these words. He'll cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, notice verse 43, but know this. He says, know this, versus ignoring this. He's saying, take this seriously, versus not taking it seriously. He's really saying, and we've seen this exhortation throughout this, again, make an effort to understand. Again, remember we point them back to Daniel in Matthew 24, 15. He says, you need to understand Daniel. It means you need to exercise your mind. You need to have this knowledge. We saw Paul saying, don't be ignorant concerning Israel. How do you combat Israel? With knowledge. He's saying, know this, hear this, versus forgetting this. Because I think there's some people that go through seasons where the knowledge is before them. Christ can come at any time, and then they forget. When COVID is at its height, and they're saying, you're going to be locked in your house for the rest of your life and never be able to do anything. You're like, I know the Lord's coming soon, but have you forgotten he's still coming soon? I remember when 9/11 hit everyone, oh, the Lord's coming soon. But do you still know he's coming soon? Listen, Jesus saying, know this should triumph and trump over any events happening on earth. Jesus said, know this, I am coming. I am coming like a thief in the night. And we need the fear of God before us, that the words of Jesus would trump and triumph over any events even happening in the earth or our lives. Jesus said, you need to know I'm coming like a thief in the night. Again, as he just said, this connects what he just said to what he's saying here. We read it, but Matthew 24, 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So again, to watch, it means to be vigilant. It means to be awake. It means you don't know the hour of the rapture. Again, when the covenant's signed, they'll know the hour. They'll know the day of the second coming. The timeline is given in multiple places in the scripture. But he says, in this regard of coming for the church, you do not know. But here's the thing. And he's likening it to a master of a home. So this is the guy in charge. This is the one who's responsible. And listen, we're all masters, so to speak, of our lives. You're responsible for your soul. Again, yes, as parents, we're responsible for our children to sow the word into them. But ultimately, as you reach the day of accountability, you are the one responsible for your soul. You will give an account for your soul before God Almighty, what you did with your life, so on and so forth. Yes, there will be a judgment on those that stumble others, but that's not a gospel. Oh, they stumble me, God, it's their fault. Let me in heaven. No, we will be responsible for our soul. And so he's talking about the one responsible for the house. We're responsible for our house. If he had known, again, and it's a picture of someone responsible for the house, and the thief broke in. And then they said, if I would have only known, I would have been ready, I would have been prepared. Have you ever had that, if I had only known thought? We have those a lot in life. As they say, right, I can't think of the phrase right now. It's, you know what, hindsight's 20/20. If I had only known. I saw the other day, back in the day, I collected baseball cards and so forth. Lord delivered me from such. But I remember a Honus Wagner T206 is considered one of the most rarest cards in the world. There was like 13 of them, I think, at that time that they knew of. And it was worth about $1,200. It's like 1980. Like, I'm dating myself here. I'm in like fourth grade, I think, and starting to collect, maybe sixth grade, collecting baseball cards. Oh, wow. Who would spend $1,200 on a baseball card? Recently, one that's ripped in two sold for $500,000. Ripped in two, about 60% of it's there. If I had only known. I heard you guys, I just heard it in your mind when you went, oh, if I had only known. How much more? If I had only known the master of the house saying, if I had only known that the thief was going to come, I would have prepared my house. Have you ever had your house broken into? Let me tell you, it's a traumatic experience. I shared this before growing up as a kid. Our house was broken in more times than I can remember. My first memory is a home invasion. You talk about a traumatic, traumatic thing to go through. If I had only known. I met my wife, when was in the early 90s, and I moved from Gilroy down to her, and she's like, what's that thing you're putting on your gas pedal to your steering wheel? I said, it's called the club. And she's like, well, no one uses that around here. I go, listen, where I come from, you use this, and I've had too many things stolen from me. I club up everywhere I go. I don't do it anymore, but back then I did it because I had learned. Listen, real thieves, when they come, they don't play games. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is that ultimate thief. But if you knew, listen, the thief was coming, you would get ready. I've shared this illustration before. It's been a long time since I've shared it, so maybe some of you haven't heard it before. Years and years and years ago, I'd probably been the pastor of the church here for maybe 3-4 years. We didn't own the house next door then, and a new group of people have moved in over there. And literally the weekend after they had moved in, our playground, and this is probably a light way of saying it, our playground was desecrated. It's not the playground now. There was an old boat out there and a wood structure and nails sticking out everywhere. The kids were tougher back then. And there was some paint that these vandals had access to, and they went and they got it, and they desecrated the playground. I'm talking about phrases and things I can't even repeat. This cross at the time was on the patio that wasn't closed in, and they took it out and they turned it upside down, and they put a horrible slur about our Lord. Horrible slurs about abortion and racial stuff. I mean, it was beyond horrendous. Beyond horrendous. I had an inkling that it was the new neighbors. And I had an inkling because I could already see in their actions, behaviors, and the way they presented themselves, they were into some dark things. Guess what? It put me on high alert. The guy who grew up with people breaking in, the guy with the club, I am on high alert. Literally the next weekend, it's a Saturday night. As I often do, I came down to pray here on a Saturday night. It was actually the same Saturday night that they ended up banning Mardi Gras in San Luis Obispo because a riot broke out down there. So maybe that gives you a timeline if you've been around here for a while. It was that Saturday night. I'm in the church here praying, and we used to have a single camera right outside with a little black and white screen, you know, like the Harbor Freight setup. And I'm here, and all of a sudden I hear a noise, and I look out. There's four women in complete black robes with hoods on standing out the door here. Okay, what am I going to do? First of all, I call the authorities. I go, hey, you need to come down here. We had our, you guys know the playground was desecrated last week, and I think the people that did it are out here, and so you need to get down here. And I'm like, well, stay on the phone, sir. I go, no, I'm going to deal with things, but you need to get down here. We didn't have glass doors back then. They were wood. I slowly undid the deadbolt. I went back to about the middle of the foyer. I tapped into my inner born-again gangster and wrestler, and I charged the door, and I hit that thing so hard. I'm surprised the thing didn't go out the hinges. I'm like, what are you doing here? Because I wanted the fear of God to get in every one of those women. They all looked like they were about to fall over. I go, last weekend, that playground was desecrated, and I'd hate for you to get the blame. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Then one of the defiant ones, wait a minute, this is public property. I go, no, it isn't. This is private property. The police are on their way. You need to see your way off of it. Cool thing is, about a year later, they moved. That was part of the cool thing. The other part is, the guy over there, I got to spend an afternoon sharing Jesus Christ with him because he felt the effects of living that lifestyle. The point being, I knew I was on high alert. There are people vandalizing this place. I know they're coming back, and I'm going to be ready. God wants us to be ready. Jesus has said, you have been told, know ahead of time it is true. Our God does not lie. Know this. I'm coming back like a thief in the night. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not know. Again, he's speaking of the rapture. It's an unannounced event. The timeline is not given. He points us back again to Matthew 24, verse 15, to Daniel 9, where there is a timeline in Daniel 9. We spent 3 weeks specifically going over that timeline, that there's going to be 7 years at the end of this age where God deals with Israel. God keeps his promises. All Israel will come into salvation. The Jews on the earth, 2/3 will be destroyed through that time of Jacob's trouble. 1/3 will come into salvation. If you're like, I can't stand the Jews, they're responsible for all the sins of the world. Listen, that's not true. We're all sinners. But if that's your, you know, your hang up with the Jews, Jesus will come back. They'll call on him and he's going to wash away their sins. So you can rest in that this morning. As in Christ, he's washed away your sins. That's what's going to unfold. That timeline is given. Listen, he's speaking of the rapture here. The timeline is not given. We know about that timeline. The Lord says the angels in heaven do not know that time. But we'll see right now, Satan will know the time of the literal second coming. And just so you know, Satan is a fallen angel. I want to read some text here. I want to encourage you to follow along. We'll touch on these things as we go through them. Notice Revelation 12:7. This is at the midpoint of the tribulation. The covenant's been signed between the Antichrist and Israel. 3.5 years have passed. The Antichrist is about to bring the abomination of desolation, where he proclaims he's God. He brings an abominable sacrifice there in the temple. And again, this temple that will be erected, and all the Jews will know this is not Messiah. At the same time, we'll see Satan is kicked out of heaven. Yes, he has access to heaven now. He accuses us before the Father night and day, but in Christ, Jesus makes intercession for us night and day. The Lord never takes a second off, and that's glorious news. Notice Revelation 12:7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. So again, it's all the more chaos is going to break out in the second half of that tribulation. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of her brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. This is speaking of tribulation saints. This is speaking of the Jews that come to faith. It's speaking of us as well. We overcome Satan only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our testimony is our faith is in him. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Hear this, because he knows he has a short time. He knows the timeline. Satan is not ignorant of the scriptures. Remember when Satan tempted Jesus? He was knowledgeable of the scriptures. He tried to twist the scriptures. He knows I have a short time. Notice 13. Now when the dragon saw he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That's Israel. He goes after Israel. Jesus came through Israel. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she's nourished for a times and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So again, we know that Jesus said, if you're in Judea, when the abomination of desolation comes, get out of town. Pray your flights on the Sabbath. Pray you're not pregnant in those days. We think they go to the rock city Petra. And again, there is a remnant that God keeps for times, times, and a half a time, which is 3.5 years. A timeline is given. Verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. But the earth helped that woman and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the women and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there's a rage. The enemy say, I'm going to institute a mark, and if you don't take it, you're going to be killed. Because that mark comes at the halfway point of the tribulation. Notice 13:1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power over his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. So again, that second half of the tribulation it's going to be full on out in the open Satan worship. They're going to worship the dragon. They're going to worship the beast, the Antichrist. It says they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with them? And notice verse 5. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He was given authority to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And we're going to see a second to the day Christ comes back at the end of that 42 months. You got authority for 42 months. Satan knows his time's short. We'll read here in Revelation 16. He begins to gather the nations in Armageddon around Jerusalem all the way down the Jordan Valley to Basra to prepare to fight God, who he knows is about to come back. Revelation 16:12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world, notice, to gather them to the battle of the great day of Almighty God. That's the literal second coming of Christ. Satan's going to know the day. He's going to gather the nations together, knowing this is the day we're going to prepare. And Satan's so stupid, he actually thinks he's going to be able to defeat God. And stupid men that follow Satan, they're going to stupidly believe it as well. In the midst of this, Jesus gives us an exhortation. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And then it says, they gather together to the place in a place in Hebrew called Armageddon. Right in the middle of this, the Lord says, behold, I'm coming as a thief. That's an exhortation to us to say, you don't want to be here for this. And again, I'm going to give you scripture. Know right now as you're reading this, I'm coming back as a thief. Again, that's in context of him coming for his church. There's not a timeline. He's not coming like a thief in the night as described here. They know he's coming. They're preparing. They know from, again, the time Satan's kicked out, we got 42 months. We got to get things in order. We got to try to wipe this place out of every Jew, of every Christian. We're going to gather. We're going to get our weapons together. We're bringing CERN out, you know. We're going to fight against God and defeat him. Notice Revelation 19, though. This is the day when that time ends. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Notice verse 14. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That is his church. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Follow along here. Verse 17 of Revelation 19. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven. And again, we've seen Jesus refer to this in Matthew 24. Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free, slave, both small and great. Again, these that are defying God, they're going to be wiped out. The birds are going to come where the Lord says, where the carcass is, that's where the eagles will gather. And then notice 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Again, the beast is given 42 months. This is the end of it. His 42 months has come to an end. It's the last day. Then the beast was captured with the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. These two were cast alive into the lake burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. All the birds were filled with their flesh. 42 months given, they know the timeline. That's the day it ends. We know that day. Satan and fallen angels, he knows that day. Listen, he's going to know it exactly the day the covenant signed, but that day's known. He's coming like a thief for his church. Again, I'll refer to this again in Luke 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You can't get any clearer there. Are you watchful? Are you ready? Is it stirred in your heart? He's coming like a thief in the night. Listen, thieves in the night as well, when they come, they steal stuff. And yes, when he comes like a thief, it will be unannounced and things will be taken. Starting with his church. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4:13. This is the day we are to be watching for, to be ready for. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, do you believe he died and rose again? Can you say amen to that this morning? Even so, God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, I love it, by the word of the Lord. Paul says, I'm not making stuff up. This isn't wishful thinking. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is moving Paul to pen this. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. It means to seize by force. The Latin here is the word raptus. It means rapture. Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Noah was brought in the ark. Lot was dragged out of Sodom. Wrath came, the flood came, brimstone came. We're going to be snatched out of this place into glory. And then again, that wrath's going to come. Peace and safety will be taken from the earth. Again, many will be destroyed during that time. Read Revelation 6 through 19. And again, at the end, as we read of the beast and those that follow, they'll be damned to hell. Notice, we looked at it last week, but I want to read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Down through 11, because the Lord differentiates between those who know him and those who don't. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Again, there's not a timeline. Good thieves don't say, hey, you know what, is Mr. Johnson there? Oh, hey, Mr. Johnson, I want to schedule a break-in to your house on November 19th. Does that sound good to you? Yes, I'm definitely coming on that night. Hopefully, Mr. Johnson, if he hears that, is barricading his house and getting things in order to be able to put down that thief. And praise God, we're called to do such, just so you know. Mr. Johnson should go fetal position and not fight back. No, he needs to defend his family. Otherwise, he's worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 again. Concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, they're going to say peace and safety when that covenant is signed at the beginning of that tribulation. Finally, peace of the Middle East. Again, I shared many times, every president in my lifetime has tried to bring peace to the Middle East. Trump's brought some covenants there, the Abrahamic Accords, which many believe that's what the Antichrist will confirm. Maybe expand it. We don't know for sure. But finally, peace in the Middle East. Finally, there's peace there. Oh, we finally are safe. Notice, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Doesn't say on you, on them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. Remember, Jesus said, pray you will escape these things that will come to pass. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Let's walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Amen. You're sons of the light, sons of the day. We are not of night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The Lord is trying to sober us up this morning. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us be of those, but those of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore, notice here, comfort each other and edify one another, just also as you're doing. We see two exhortations to comfort one another concerning the coming of the Lord. That's a comforting thing. It's a comforting thing. Now quickly, here, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant who his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Again, we want to be faithful and wise servants, amen? Faithful to the business of God, wise in knowing he can come at any time. He's made us ruler over his possessions. Listen, it all belongs to him, just so you know. That's my business. No, that's the Lord's business. Are you managing it as such? That's my house. No, that's the Lord's house. Are you managing it as such? This is my time. No, that's the Lord's time. Are you managing it as such? And notice, it's not his stuff for us. It's his stuff to give food to others in the household. We're given gifts to minister them one to another. As it says there in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For as we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared or predestined beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So again, we're saved by grace through faith, but now we're masters over his goods to minister them, first of all, for his glory and for the benefit of others. Listen, what's the opposite of a faithful and wise servant? It's an unfaithful and a stupid servant. It's the one who calls on the name of Christ and the uses of grace as a ticket to sin that has no mind of the call of God on their lives, no mind to serve God, honor God, live for him, to be about his business, no mind for others. It is a life wasted. It's the man of 1 Corinthians who, again, his life's on Christ and his faith in Jesus, but all that he's built's brought through the fire and it burns away. Yet it says he's saved, but by the skin of his teeth. And some say, I hear people say something, I just want to be there. That might comfort you today in your carnality, but on that day, you're going to regret it. Jesus says that's a stupid way to live. That's not wise. That is foolish. Listen, the wise and faithful servant found about the master's business. What we read here, he's going to be blessed. There's blessings that come with this. Where am I here in my notes? Again, who's the faithful and wise servant? He made him ruler of his household. Blessed is that servant who his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Why is he blessed? Because listen, we're going to give an account. We'll get into this in the weeks to come, Lord willing. Maybe Jesus will come before this. That would be great. Lord will give you way better Bible study than I ever could. But I won't read it, but we're familiar with it. In Matthew 25, it's part of all the discourse. Again, one servant gives one talent. Another gets two, another gets five. The ones with two and five go invest. The master comes back. Hey, what do you have those talents? You gave me five, I got 10. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Again, enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to have a joy, a rejoicing. I'm going to give you charge over more. Again, notice what Jesus says there in Luke 16:11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful and righteous mammon, who will commit you trust? Who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Again, you can rejoice knowing you're about his business. He's going to give you charge over more. Heaven's not you on a cloud with a harp and a toga. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And who knows what he has before us beyond that? Eye hasn't seen, nor, again, has heart understood that. Listen, more than this, even more, listen, there's going to be reason for rejoicing when you're about his business. You won't need to be ashamed. And again, look at, our sins are washed through faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to keep that straight, but we will give an account for our life. And how horrible for the Lord to come back. Like I said before, I heard growing up, if Jesus comes back and you're in a rated R movie, you'll be left behind. No, grandma, you're wrong. That's a false doctrine. And I'd hear it from all the grandmas in church, right? But if your life is a rated R life and you're in Christ, you're going to be like Lot dragged out, but there's going to be some shame there. I wasted my life on this nonsense. I wasted my life being entertained by God haters. I live for laughs and giggles and endorphin releases from this nonsense. And again, you got freedom in Christ. We do not teach legalism. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Let's use our freedom, though, to glorify God, because we're going to account for what we did with it. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The wise and faithful servant. And then I won't read it, but in Revelation 4:9, we read of those 24 elders, and they have crowns to put at his feet. Again, enter into the joy of the Lord. Here's a crown, and you get to put it at the feet of the Lord. Verse 47, surely I say to you, I'll make him ruler over all his goods. Notice 2 Timothy 2:11, this is a faithful saying. If we die with him, we shall live with him. If we endure with him, we shall reign with him. Versus wasting our life on aimless conduct. Notice 1 Peter 1:17, if you call on the Father, have you called on the Father? Can you say amen to that? Who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, with a fear of God, a reverence to God, knowing you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. And I want to point this out. From your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Our conduct was aimless before. Now we have an aim, and it should be to please God, knowing he can come today. Verse 48, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't got time to read it. We've referred to it. We've looked at it so many times. 2 Peter 3:1-9. It talks about scoffers in the last days. Things are as they've always been. They willfully forget that God destroyed the earth with a flood. He delays his coming. He's not coming back. And the scripture says, you need to know this, with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but it's long-suffering towards us. Thank you, Jesus. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is a warning this morning. It's a warning to the mid-tribber, the pre-rather, the post-tribber, the no-rapture-er. There's a lot of them. There's no rapture in the Bible. Bro, you haven't read it then. Because our little kids this morning are reading about Elijah raptured to heaven. We're reading about us being raptured to heaven. There is a rapture coming. Oh, I just can't. I can't wrap my mind around that. Can you wrap your mind around creation that you can see that God spoke and it came forth? Can you wrap your mind around a baby being conceived in a womb and God breathing life into that soul? Oh, it's impossible. How could God just take us up? Come up and you're gone. That's how. I would say on the scale of miracles, this is a pretty simple one here. I just can't. Can you can't, or you just don't like the idea of it? My evil servant says, my master delays his coming. And if you are looking for the Antichrist and not the Christ this morning, Jesus is saying, you need to listen to what I'm saying. I'm coming like a thief in the night. And if you adhere to that and you think the tribulation is all about the church and you're ignorant concerning Israel, at the minimum, you better acknowledge Christ can come today. And if you don't, that is a wicked doctrine. It's a wicked doctrine. Some just need to be educated. Some are ignorant. Some never read the Old Testament. They just jump in the New and think it's all about the church. They don't even have any idea about God using Israel to bring forth Messiah and the promise Christ would sit on the throne of David over Israel. They're ignorant to it. The churches don't teach it. They say, we need to unhinge ourselves from the Old Testament. People don't get saved if they hear about Noah and the ark. That will keep them from coming to Christ, though Christ affirmed it. These mental midgets in pulpits today that, again, tickle ears and bring entertainments to try to build a congregation for their egos. False prophets who will give an account before the living God. If you're saying in your heart he delays his coming, the Bible says that's an evil position, because Christ says, I can come at any time. So again, if you hear to one of those viewpoints of eschatology, you better at the minimum go, but there's a caveat, Christ can come at any time. And if that's not there, you need to get back into the Word of God. You need to put the words of Jesus Christ above that theology at the minimum. Well, I just don't see that. I'm looking for the Antichrist. Jesus, you better be looking for me. An evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. And let me tell you, looking for the coming of the Lord, having that before you, produces fruits of the Holy Ghost. Saying the Lord delays his coming, it produces the works of the flesh. It just does. Because that's not a biblical mindset. More and more, if you preach Christ can come at any time, there's a rapture, you're probably going to get beat up. You're probably going to get mocked. Again, you see that going on right now? I think a lot of it goes down to this. There's a lot of Christians, they like the idea of more years on earth versus going to be with Jesus. They don't understand the gravity of these things that are going to come. Again, the master of that servant will come on a day he's not looking for him. Oh, Lord, let us be looking for you. At an hour he's not aware. And we'll just close on this. This is sobering here. He'll cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Paul speaks there in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 of a crown of righteousness now waiting for him as he knows he's about to depart. And then he says, this crown is not only for me, but also those who love his appearing. Guys, there's a crown just for loving the appearing of the Lord. That's one we should all get. But the evil servant says, I love the world. I love the world. I want to be here. Well, I'm 20 years old. I don't have to. It's right. I love the world. Listen, live your life as if you're going to live it out till you're 100, but every day in it, expect the coming of the Lord. In fact, all the more, I only got 10 years here. I got to be about the business of God. Whatever it is, whatever that timeline is. And again, you need to know Christ isn't making this up here. Again, cut in two, his portion with the hypocrites, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know exactly what this is, but I know we better take it to heart. This seems to be one whose faith is in Christ, but one who's buried his talents. I don't think they'll be rejoicing on glory if the Lord says, you buried your talents. Well, God, I'm just happy to be here. He says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You'll get your portion with the hypocrite. Again, the born-again hypocrite is not going to get a reward. Like, I don't care about that. You're going to care about it on that day. You're going to care about it when you don't have a crown to put at his feet. We'll all get one in eternity. No, now's the time when you get those crowns. And again, I know he's going to wipe away every tear. And I know those with crowns is not going to be strut around heaven. Check out my crown, bro. Yo, check it out. It ain't going to be that. It's not going to be that, but it's going to be a sorrowful place. These are the words of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us to take them to heart. Let's stand up and close here and pray prayer. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you We glorify you. We honor you, God. Oh, Lord, stir our hearts. I hope and pray, God, our hearts are stirred that you can come at any time to be watchful for your coming. Let it affect the way we are living. Can we say amen to that? If you don't know him, today is the day of salvation. We are sinners damned to hell under his wrath. Christ bore our sins on the cross. He rose from the grave. And whoever calls on his name will be saved. Call on him if you have not. Put your faith in him today. Jesus Christ will meet you where you're at even now. Lord, knock off the rust. Lord, take away the apathy. Stir our hearts afresh in you. Lord, let it not take a news headline to stir our hearts. Let it be the words of the scripture that stir our hearts. Help us, God. Bless your people. Lord, let us robustly praise you as we close out here. Let's worship the Lord.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim. God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art.
God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day in the Lord Jesus Christ.